follow me just for a moment. I want to highlight a not a difficult passage. It's been a challenging passage of scripture to me for several years. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, where Paul writes and he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first," everybody shout first, "first apostles, second prophets, third teachers." This text has been somewhat of a challenge to me. First of all, I just didn't understand it, why he would lay it out, because it seems to kind of conflict of what he's going to say in Ephesians 4 and 11 when he talks about the fivefold offices, where he says Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When you look at 1 Corinthians 12:27, it looks as if he is making a hierarchy, like apostles are number one, prophets number two, teachers number three. And here is what's sad. In this day and hour, we actually look at the gifts like that. We take our Americanized minds and we try to apply them to things of the Spirit, and we go after things not because we're necessarily called to it, but we go after it for status, for prestige. I mean, it just looks good to have Bishop so-and-so on my card, Apostle so-and-so, Prophet so-and-so. Here is the fallacy. If you ever use gifts or offices as a means of building self-esteem, you actually set yourself up for a major fall. If you need them to call you pastor, if you need them to call you prophet, if you need them because it does something to your ego, you are setting yourself up for failure, because when you tap into that realm, what happens is you'll start to do extra stuff to validate your own self. How many know when God calls you, God validates you? But when you call yourself, you got to validate your own self. So you got to do all of these extra things that counterproductive. Here's the sad truth as well. There are many who are claiming offices that are not. You are not an apostle. You're not a prophet. You ain't even got members. How you a pastor? You ain't won nobody to the Lord, and you an evangelist? But it feels good to have a title. So my problem was, because when I looked at this text, I saw people starting to do things out of that vein of ascending to particular offices because it seems as though that it was greater. And I was reading in a commentary a couple of weeks ago, actually a few days ago, and the guy really blessed me. I can't remember his name, otherwise I would give him credit. But nevertheless, he says that what this scripture means, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, he said that it's not an ascending order, but he said they are gifts that God gave to the church historically. Historically, you see the prophet's ministry, the apostolic ministry manifested. After that, you'll see prophets. After that, you'll see teachers. And he goes to the text. He says, in essence, in the book of Acts, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter number 11, you hear nothing but what the apostles are doing. When you get to chapter number 11, verse number 27, you hear the first introduction, second prophets, that he gives to the church. When you get to Acts 13 and 1, then you see the office of the teacher. So it's not hierarchy. It's when God decided to give the gifts and the offices to the church. Does that make sense, y'all? So we're dealing with this idea of fivefold ministry. Everybody shout fivefold ministry. That's what we're teaching on. The apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Last week, we had a phenomenal teaching on the office of the apostle. This week, I want to deal with the office of the prophet. I want to deal with the office of the prophet. Now, I want to give you an example of what I mean, prophet, because there is a branch of Christianity. Whenever you hear the word prophet, they parallel that word to just preacher. That just means a proclaimer of the truth. And that's not how the scripture actually defines an individual with the office or the gift of prophecy. Preachers are just preachers. And matter of fact, everybody ought to be preaching. Everybody should be declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen to that? So I want to give you an example of what I mean of an individual that's actually operating in the office of the prophet. Acts chapter number 11, verse number 27. The Bible declares, "Now in these days, prophets," everybody shout prophets, "in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius." 29 declares, "So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." Now understand what's going on. Agabus, he is not proclaiming at this particular moment the death, burial, and resurrection. He gets a revelation from God concerning a situation that's about to transpire. Understand, I'm defining revelation in the biblical context, not with a systematic theology book context. So when I speak of revelation, I'm talking about a body of knowledge that one received from God. So he receives this revelation of a famine that's getting ready to hit the earth. And because of the revelation, and he proclaims it, the people of God are actually better to prepare themselves for what is coming. Watch the wisdom. They didn't even pray that it would not come. No, we know that it's coming. Let's better prepare ourselves. So I want to throw stones at EMCC, not the church down the street around the corner. All I want to talk about is EMCC. I need, as your leader, listen to me. I need your gifts to grow and to develop. I need those of you who are prophetically inclined to master the gift and the grace that God has placed upon your life. Why do you need that, Pastor? Because we don't need another coronavirus to catch us by surprise. Agabus saw it coming, and he proclaimed what he saw. And because he proclaimed what he saw, the people of God, the disciples, were able to get together and prepare for what was to come. Now, I know there's some other things that are coming, but it shouldn't catch us by surprise this time. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, grow." So when I speak of this prophetic ability, inspiration, I'm not just talking about the teaching or the preaching of the word of God. Let me give you some definition. Prophesying, watch this, it is the verbal declaration of revelation received from God. It is the verbal declaration. It is declaring, it is speaking revelation, something that has been revealed to you by God. Now, let's give an understanding of what revelation is. Again, I'm not defining it from the standpoint of a systematic theology textbooks. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a body of knowledge revealed by God, highlighting his heart concerning a certain person or matter. It is a body of knowledge. It's a body of knowledge given to you. No. You didn't study for this one. It was given to you. How do you know? I don't know how I know, but I know. It's something imparted into you. For some of you guys, there are prophetic dreamers that are sitting amongst us right now. God deals with you in dreams. He deals with you in dreams. And in your dream, He shows you things that are to come. It's a body of knowledge that he gives you. Some of you all, you're not dreamers, but when you close your eyes, you see pictures, and these pictures make sense to you. So some of you guys, you actually experience open visions while you're walking. There are things that play in front of your eyes. Then there are some of you all, you don't do open visions. You're not a dreamer, but God just imparts a knowledge. It's like, I don't know, but now I do know. God just downloads something in your spirit at that moment. Then there are others of you all, there are light impressions that you pick up in your spirit. Here it is, what you need to do. Number one, you need to honor God for the way he desires to speak to you and stop wishing that he would speak another way. You would actually grow and mature in your ability, your clarity, if you would appreciate the way he is talking to you instead of complaining about the way you want him. So if you are a dreamer, stop whining and write down your dreams. I sure wish he'd just say it plainly. Write down your dreams. Write down your dreams. Write down your dreams. Yeah. Well, let me deal with dreams just for a second. You guys do know, like, the book of Revelation? Like, for us in our time, book of Revelation for many of us is like a strange book. It's like a for some of us, scary book. It's like, what does that mean? So in John's day and in the day of the seven churches, nothing that he wrote was ambiguous. Nothing. The seven mountains, the whore that sits upon the mountains, the dragon, the beast, all of these symbols, watch this, were relevant to their time. John knew exactly what they meant. What are you trying to say? So when God gives you a dream, he gives you symbols that are either currently relevant to you or he gives you symbols that he's going to highlight what it means later on. So what one picture in the dream, what a serpent in somebody's dream over here might mean something different in another person's dream. But if you take, if it's a serpent, it means this, then you might misinterpret a whole bunch of dreams because God speaks to you in symbols that are relevant to you. Am I making sense? So God gives us, everybody shout, revelation. Revelation. So this is what I want to do today. For those of you guys who are inclined to the prophetic, what I want to do is I want to kind of give you some instruction, some direction and correction as to how to flow and maximize the grace that God has placed upon your life. So the Apostle Paul, he writes to the church of Corinth, and he deals primarily with the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 1, and I want to highlight what he says. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He said, everybody shout, pursue love. Pursue love. Yes, desire spiritual gifts. How many know that you can be gifted, but if you ain't got character, you ain't nothing? Who cares if you can speak in tongues if you don't want to speak to me? Gifts are obsolete when you don't have good character. So he says, yes, I want you to desire your gifts. I want you to desire prophecy. But beyond the desire of the gifts, what I really want you to pursue is, everybody shout, love. Verse number 3, he's going to say, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So watch this. Here is prophecy, or here is prophesying. I receive a body of knowledge. Everybody shout, a body of knowledge. I receive a revelation, which is a body of knowledge from God. Prophesying is when I declare the body of knowledge that I have received from the Lord. So here are questions that I often get from individuals who either have dreams or God, they say God spoke to them or God revealed something to them. Here is a common question that I often get. Pastor, should I tell them? Ooh, there's some conflict up in this congregation. I'm hearing a lot of, look, Jamie just retracted. She said, I'm here. So, like God showed me. He showed me. Should I tell them? Oh, y'all quiet now. Y'all was hollering out answers. Y'all quiet now. Here's the answer. If we look at the two tests that Paul gives us from the very beginning, should you say it? Are you in a place of love? Like, is your spirit right? I want you to think about, listen, I want you to think about what you can do with private, personal information when your heart ain't right. Think about that. Private, personal information, what you can do with that when your spirit and your heart is not right. You can manipulate, you can hurt somebody, you can bless. Some of y'all prophesying and you've been wanting to go off anyway. Come on, you've been wanting to tell them off anyway, and now you got some inside juicy information. Oh my God.
So the first question is, before you tell, are you actually in a good place of love? So let's find out. The scripture declares, 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Here's the question. Let's just pause at verse number four. What you're getting ready to say, are you saying it from a standpoint of being patient and kind? Are you saying it, what you're getting ready to say, is it going to bring you glory in any form of fashion? Is it going to have people looking at you like, ooh, he sure is a man of God, for real. He saw that. Is it going to bring glory to you? If it is, then Paul said, you ain't operating in love. So you know what you need to do? Keep your little revelation. Your little revelation.
Had gave a word. This was years ago. This guy, he was pursuing some things, some business, and God, like, I saw it clear as day. God showed it to me, and this is what I saw. I saw him achieving his goal and losing his marriage. I saw him achieving his goal at the expense of his family, and so I went to him with tears in my eyes to inform him of what I saw. I was patient. I was kind. I wasn't trying to bring attention to myself. It was a warning, sir. I actually see you achieving the goal, but you're going to lose your wife. Love is not rude. Just because you are knowing it don't give you a right to be rude to folk. I won't call the individual's name. We had one individual came here on this platform, and they was, I don't know what they was on, but before they could finish, I had already made up my mind. I promise you, this is the last time you'll be in this house. The reality is they almost got cut off in the middle of their preaching. It wasn't even that they were saying anything wrong, but you were so snappy and rude. My people ain't dogs. We ready to eat if you gonna feed us. Love ain't rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. How does that relate to the prophetic? You can't get in your feelings because your word ain't accepted. Because if it is a word from the Lord, then the Lord of the word will be responsible to deal with the one who don't receive his word. If you the mailman, deliver the package and keep on rolling. Am I making sense in this place? Watch this. It's not rude, does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful. Look at this. 6, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing. The evil that you see, the harm that you see, do you smirk when you see it? If there's a smirk, you don't need to say nothing. but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endures all things. Paul says that, yeah, I want you to desire the gift, but you should pursue, everybody shall pursue love. He says, pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Here's the second test, 1 Corinthians 14:3. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, consolation. And what you're saying, is it going to build people up or tear them down? Is it going to encourage them or discourage them? Is it going to console them or cause them to their hearts to be gripped with fear? I was at a service. I was at a service several weeks ago, and in the middle of the service, I saw with this woman, and I saw a major sickness going on in this individual's body, and I was prophesying. I was speaking about all kind of things that was going on in their lives and encouraging them. In the middle of me speaking, what I had saw, I saw something else, and I saw this in her body. As soon as I saw it, there was an awareness that came with what I saw. Watch this. This was the awareness. She don't know it's there. So why in the world am I getting ready to surprise her about a sickness she don't even know she got? Now, I also saw God healing her, so this is what I did. I spoke in general terms of God's grace to touch their body. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, in her mind, she probably was like, that's just a general word. It is. But it's what I see specifically. I gave her a general word, so when it comes to her awareness of actually what's going on in the body, she can reflect back to the word of what Pastor says of how God's going to bring healing and deliverance. Am I making sense? I saw it, but I chose not to say it, because that word is not going to build her up, console her. It's not going to encourage her. She's going to leave this church discouraged and in fear. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, watch your mouth. You need to watch what you say. Let me help you, prophets. You can practice with your wife, your kids, and your grandkids. Practice with your wife, your kids, and your grandkids. When they leave your house for school, do they leave encouraged or discouraged? Think about it. I had to watch myself, because I don't want the last words to my children as they go to face whatever is daddy fussing at them about something. It's not that I don't have things to fuss about. I do. There's some things I can just wait until you get home. Just have a good day. It's quiet up in here. How does your husband or your wife leave the house? Do they leave encouraged or discouraged? Boy, this is the quiet church. Do they leave motivated to conquer the world, or are they glad they're gone to get away from you? No, this is important, because there are some of you guys, I'm telling you, this is very relevant, because there are some of you guys, like, God has actually called you to flow in the prophetic, and his desire is to give you a body of knowledge, and with this body of knowledge, watch this, only God gives revelation, but it is your responsibility to prophesy it, declare it, declare the revelation in a way that builds, encourages, and exhorts. Here's the problem. Everything that God shows me is not necessarily in on the forefront, encouraging or comforting. He showed me something going on in this woman's body. So just saying, I see this,
That is not comforting. So how do I take this evil report? How do I take this vision, this revelation of negativity, and turn it where I prophesy what he wants me to prophesy, upbuilding, uplifting? That's the challenge. And the practice is your own kids. The practice is your own wife. I just wonder, when you go home right now and you see my shoes in the middle of the floor and you've been gone for 3 days, I just wonder, when you let the Lord use, because they showed in the middle of the floor. I was in a hurt rush. It happened. Everybody shall practice. My God, today. So he says, the one who prophesies, the purpose is to upbuild, encourage, to console. Look at verse number 24. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. It's the power of that prophetic witness when God begins to show you details in an individual life. He shows you details that only they know about. Do you know it's often a comfort in their heart? It's like they say to themselves that God really does care. He wouldn't have showed you that and allowed you to tell me if he didn't care about where I. Some of y'all know my story. 18 years old, I was getting ready to devise a plan to take my life. And I went to visit a guy on my way to carry out my plan, because I was frustrated, I was tired. I put up this silly wall as if nobody cared, and the folk who did care, I didn't want to disappoint them with my issues. The devil is absolutely a liar. And so on my way to visit this man, I walked away, and as I walked away with tears in my eyes, and he hollered my name, Greg. God said, don't do it. As I was walking away, on my way to execute my plan, he said, Greg, God said, don't do it. You know what that did? It made me feel like God, you actually do care. And God want to use some of y'all like that. He wants to use you like. Verse number 26, he writes and he says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation. The one with the revelation is the one with the prophetic utterance, a tongue or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Now, I like this because he's throwing a gift mix in there. There are some people that are gifted to sing. There are some people that are gifted to teach. There are some people that are gifted to receive prophetic revelations and to declare those. There are some people that are gifted with tongues and interpretation. Gift envy is a lie. Stop it. Gift envy is a lie. Watch this. I absolutely love the praise team and what they do, but if I had a real envy in my heart, I'd be up here trying to sing like a fool. The Lord, you just gonna give it to me. No, he not. Everybody shall stay in your lane. Here's the reality. God has graced you with a gift. What you need to do is explore what he's given you and maximize it And you will find that you will have a fruitful and fulfilled life if you will search out the gift he, my God, today. Come, understand, at Christmas, my wife, she buys gifts for all the, I don't buy nothing. Kids open the gift, I be like, let me see what I bought you. And every gift is detailed to their personality, their character, their like, their taste. So it's actually foolish for Greg to be envious of what we give Nate and Nate to be, because I gave you what. And I'm telling you, like, God thought about what he was going to gift you with. And not only did he think about what he was going to give you, he also thought about the timing of when he would release, the best time, the optimal time of what he would release to you. Am I making sense in this place? So you have this mixture of abilities. And here he says, 29, let two or three prophets speak, let the others weigh what is said. KJV says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other, everybody shall judge. Now, watch this. If you're taking notes, I need you to jot this down. If you're not taking notes, I need you to jot this down. Every direct or destiny word has to be judged. Every direct and or destiny word, it needs to be judged. It needs to be judged. If somebody comes speaking and declaring a word to you that is a direct word, what do I mean? See, you know, direct as opposed to general words. I get a lot of general words, But Pastor, I see the Lord exalting you. The Lord taking you higher. I get a lot of those words. And I'm in agreement with them. Amen. Higher, Lord. That's a song, boy. Higher. See, y'all, see somebody, nah. I'm not talking about general words, but a direct word. A direct word is a specific instructional word or a word concerning my destiny. It has to be, everybody shall judged, right? Here's the standard of judging a word. And let me say this. If there's a prophet or a prophetic person that is offended by you choosing to judge a word, run. Because if you're truly prophetic, you shouldn't be offended. You shouldn't be. So here's the first test. Number one, what they are saying, is it in alignment with the scripture? First test. Does it contradict what the Bible says? I hear the Lord just abundantly blessing you, Pastor. He's going to give you five wives. I see the Lord bless. You understand? See, my wife even said, that ain't God. I ain't even have to, she judged it. It's a contradiction to the text. Here's the second thing. Is the word in alignment with revealed destiny already? With what has been spoken, is it in agreement with what God has already revealed in your life? That's some things that people speak. I hear you, but I know that's not of God. You know why? Because it contradicts where God is telling me to go right now. Because you do know people can prophesy out of their own souls. They can prophesy out of their own imaginations. A lot of times people look at you and they just put stuff together, right? Just put it on this. I was at a service, and I shared this. This pastor, he had daughters, and one of the daughters, she had a real fit tone, okay? So I said, I see you, like, I asked her, does she play sports? I asked, does she play sports? Now, on the outside, it just looked okay. I mean, she looked kind of like fit, so it makes sense, yeah. She says, no, I don't play sports. I'm in the band. So God started dealing with me, and I said, but I see you running. Like I see you fast. Like, you don't do no sports. She's like, nope, I'm in the band. I said, all right. I see you. I guess you're going to march fast. I don't know. I don't know. Did you see me rolling them toes, boy? You see me rolling them toes? Where that camera at? Where that kept my toes? You must go on, march fast. I don't know. I said, I see you. So since she was stuck on the band, I let it, okay. It's okay. Moved on and prayed. After service, pastor came to me. He said, oh yeah, she made the track team, but her physical hadn't came in yet, so they won't let her on. watch this. The word ain't about me, so I didn't mind looking silly asking her about track when she is convinced I'm in the band. I ain't tripping. This God work, not mine. So he tells me she made the track team. She can't run yet because her physical stuff hadn't cleared. As soon as he said that, God dropped a fresh download. I started seeing scholarship and everything else. See, this is what you have to understand. Prophetically, be faithful over the few. The principle works. God makes you ruler over much more. If you are fearful to say what you see about somebody being fast, then all the scholarship stuff that he gonna reveal, that'll never come because you ain't even faithful over it a little bit. Now, I have, at this point, at the beginning, I had no idea what her being fast was anything about. All I saw was this image. I saw this impression of her, like, being really, really, and her sisters are like, yeah, she fast. I don't know what that means, but the moment the pieces came together, then God dropped the, everybody shout, just be faithful over it a little bit. Now, let me pause there for a second, because some of y'all, thank you, Lord, you ain't being faithful. You're not being faithful. You exaggerating. You do see something, but you adding stuff to it because you need to look good. Why? Because your prophetic gift right now is about you and not about his glory. I'm telling you, when your heart not right, and you need to be honored. You need to be. It's so funny. I'd be walking in like anywhere. I'd be with Monte, or I'll be with who's the other person? It was some. I'd be with Bell. Even Karki. Praise the Lord.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying. Watch this. I'm walking, and somebody said, "Who the pastor?" They look at Monte, Bell. They look at Karki. I'm like. I ain't offended by that because I don't need. Matter of fact, it's been a couple times I lied. I said, "Yeah, he the pastor. You can talk to him. talk to him. Praise the Lord. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm sorry." You judge your word. Is anybody getting anything? Yes. You judge your word, number one, by the word of God. Number two, by revealed destiny. Number three, watch this, by your heart's desire. Like by your heart. Oftentimes, it's not very often. I need y'all to hear me. It's not very often that God challenges you to do something that's contrary to the desire he's given you. You need to understand. So when God wants you to do something, he gives you a desire for the thing that he desires for you to do. So it's interesting. So I have a desire to travel and do foreign missions now. Like now. And it's amazing because of the words and the opportunities that I have been receiving in this season. Just 2 years ago, on back, I had no desire to leave the comfort of my AC and posturpedic mattress to go sleep on a pad. Y'all ain't saying nothing in this place. I don't even know what's wrong with me now. I'm crazy. I don't know. But I have a desire. So the word that you're receiving, is there a does that make sense? It's not very often. There are times when he will challenge your desire. Sometimes that's just because of stubbornness in your heart. Sometimes it's your limited perspective, what you think it's going to be like. And God like, no, humble yourself. 29 and 30. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let them first. Everybody shall be silent. Be silent. And look at 32. The spirit of prophets are subject to what, y'all? So he says, two or three speak. Let one judge. While one is talking, the others keep silent. And just in case, if you doubt, you can keep silent. The spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. Just because you see it, you don't have to say it. So let me just kind of help you. Because this is just like what's happening. Spiritual gifts are budding, the materializing. Even this message today is helping some of you guys because it's making sense of stuff that's been happening to you. Like I just knew that. I don't even know how I knew that. God's dealing with you prophetically. Let me help you. This is the rule of this house, and this is the rule when I and you go to somebody else's house. If I go to somebody else's house, especially when I don't know the pastor, the last thing I'm about to do is prophesy to his people. That's the last thing. I be seeing all day. I see stuff all day. The last thing I'm getting ready to do is start decreeing, declaring, prophesying to his people. When I go to another man's house, first thing I ought to do is submit my gift to this house. If I really am who I say that I am, then I should walk in enough humility to say, this is who I am. These are my credentials. This is who laid hands on me. This is who sent me out. This is where I came from. Here are my gifts. And you, as the senior leader of the house, see my mix of gift, and you utilize them as you see fit. So what I don't like is for prophets to come into the house and they cornering the people, every five people, giving them a word. What in the heck you doing? If you a prophet, you come right here first. And when you come here and submit your gift, because how many times have I heard somebody prophesy somebody's marriage? And they wind up marrying that clown. I don't even know what you're saying. I don't know your character. I don't know your intent. I don't know if you're trying to get your bills. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Look. Listen. I need you. If I can see, I can see. If I can see, I can see. If I can see God blessing you, I know money coming. And if my heart ain't right and I know money coming, then I start pole-mouthing about all the needs of the ministry. And I'm seeing some rascals do that. And it angers me. It angers me. So if you got a gift, you'll just go in nobody's house and you just start prophesying, man, submit your gift. Submit your gift to the house so that you can be organized within the mix and everything can be done decently and in order. Am I making sense in this place? So he says that the spirit of the prophet is actually subject to the prophet, so you don't have the I can't help it. No, you don't. For you all can prophesy. I like that. Paul said this. He says, for you all can prophesy. Now, understand what that means. I have, watch this, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit embodies all spiritual gifts. And because the one who embodies all spiritual gifts abides in me, I actually have access to all the gifts. The Bible declares, 1 Corinthians 12, that he gives or distributes the gifts as he wills. So he gives you based on what he desires you to have for that specific time. This is what I do know. There may be a gift that I don't. Here's what I do. I study on all the gifts. You want to know why I study on all of them? Because I never know when one is going to manifest. And just in case it manifests, I should have a body of knowledge concerning that particular gift so that I can operate accordingly. Am I making sense? So he says, all of you can prophesy. This is important because there are too many of us as well that are turning prophets into psychics. We're turning prophets into witches and warlocks. How do you operate with a witch or with a warlock? When you have an issue, when you have a problem, instead of you praying and talking to God yourself, because all can prophesy. What does that mean? All can receive revelation. God can speak to you, but before you even pray, you going to talk to them. The question is, how many times you think you're going to do that before God deal with you, and he confirm in you that I'm your source. So all can prophesy, all can receive revelation. So just because I can see, I don't put myself on a pedestal because I can see. Guess what? You can too. You can too. And you should too. You should. A couple of more things and I'm done. Here's a question I get, and I prayed on this, and God gave me some, God gave me some better clarity. I know what I know, but I needed more clarity. So, Pastor, what's the difference between those who actually walk in the office of a prophet as opposed to those who simply have the gift of prophecy? Because there is the distinction. Those who, Paul says, all can prophesy. All can walk in the gift, but everybody doesn't actually carry the office. Here has been my distinction outwardly of the difference of those who walk in office as opposed to gift. Those who walk in the gift, they do speak, they do prophesy. Those who walk in office outwardly, oftentimes, they operate in all of the revelation gifts fluently. Not just prophesying, but often word of wisdom and word of knowledge is very heavy on their life. Outwardly, that's what I see. But there's actually an inward passion that kind of helps you to distinct whether you're called to just the gift or you might be called to the office. Here's the real distinction. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Y'all ready? Paul says, the one who prophesies, this is the one with just, you have the gift of prophecy. What does that mean? God gives you a body of knowledge, revelation, and he challenges you to speak the revelation so that people can be upbuilt, encouraged, consoled. That is the gift. Here's the difference between the gift and the office. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, teachers to equip his people for works of service. The one with the gift prophesies, excited about prophesying, love to see God move when they prophesy. The one called to the office, their excitement is not in them prophesying, but in training you too. That's the difference. When there's excitement, it's about not them speaking, but helping you to mature so you can. Spoke to a friend of mine on Friday, and he said, you need to get me in. Man, I want to come in. I want to come see you. He says, it's some things I want to show you and sharpen you concerning your gift. This brother here is like called to the office. Because he ain't just wanting to come here so he can just prophesy. like he's trying to make me better as a prophetic person. Am I making sense? So this final thing, and I'm done. The biggest hindrance to the prophetic. Because there are some of you guys who are actually called, you actually have a strong prophetic bend, but you in your own way. I want to show you what that hindrance is. Jeremiah 1:4. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation. So this boy doesn't just operate in the gift, but he actually holds the office of the prophet, but he's getting ready to miss it. Why? Verse number 6 declares, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. First of all, we see that the prophet's problem is he's focused on himself and not God. Get your eyes off you. Get your eyes off of you. When I come on the stage, I want to look presentable. I want to look nice. But there is a moment where I switch, where I don't even care what I look like. I promise y'all, I didn't know these was two different colors before I got on. It's two different. But you know what? Don't care. Now I'm going to care when I get down. I'm going to be like, dang, Greg. But right now, don't care. She said it works. Well, praise him. Y'all getting me out the spirit. Leave me alone. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Here it is. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. There are some of you all in this audience today. God is dealing with you. And there's some things that God is asking of you and challenging you to do. You have allowed fear to grip your heart. You are afraid. God says, be not afraid. You call it humility, but it's not, it's false. Lord, I just want to be in the background. Just send somebody else. Scared. You ain't humble. You scared. God wants to use your hands, your feet, your voice. He's come down once before in physical form and ascended. Now he declares, Jesus, I am the head. That means I do the thinking and the seeing. You are the body. You act out what I'm thinking, and you go in the direction that I'm looking. I'm not coming back down again to do that until I come back down and it is done. Until then, I need your hands, I need your feet, I need your mouth to do what I would have done had I stayed on the earth. And I need you to do it how I would do it. Fearless.